without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. That's a fairly well-known passage about wives and husbands, and it's not regarded as particularly politically correct sometimes. The idea that the wife is subservient to the husband, that's not really what the writer was saying. Actually, he was saying it's a commitment on both sides. For the husband to love his wife as he loves his own body is quite difficult. And really, it was just a way of saying both must love each other above everything else. But we're thinking about how that applies to the church and to Jesus. And so I brought in a visual aid today. It actually looks a bit spooky. That's my wedding dress, hung up on the pillar, if you can see it. And I'm not quite sure why I've kept it. I'm not going to use it again. But I have kept it. It reminds me of a very special day. I was saying to someone earlier, I actually looked a bit like a Dalek when I wore it, because it had a big hoop inside and you couldn't see my feet. It looked like I was just gliding along up and down the church. Anyway, we're going to think a little bit about husbands and wives, about brides and bridegrooms, about wedding days, and what that can tell us about our relationship with God. If you think about a wedding, you probably start thinking about it a long time in advance. People like to spend a long time making sure that everything is right for their big day. Why does a bride go to so much trouble? She puts on a special dress. She probably has her hair done. I did. I had mine done. They burnt my scalp. It was a day never to forget. Took me a long time to go back to a hairdresser after that, which you might be able to tell. Anyway, they have their hair done. They do their makeup. They look spectacular. And if you look at people's wedding photos, they often look like absolutely the best version of themselves, the best they could possibly look on that special day. Why does a bride do it? Well, she does it, I think, for three reasons. Firstly, because she loves her husband-to-be. She has chosen him as the man in the whole wide world that she wants to spend the rest of her life with, and she wants to look good. She wants to look her best. She knows that there will be photos. And nowadays, she knows that they will be shared on Facebook and everywhere else. A couple of my friends got married yesterday, and the photos are gorgeous. They look like the best versions of themselves. And it's a very special day. So that's the bride. And we are told that we are like the bride of Christ. Perhaps we need to think about how we make sure we are the best versions of ourselves, spending time being ready to meet with Jesus. The groom also spends some time getting ready for his wedding. My son is getting married in October. I don't think he's spending quite as much time thinking about it as his bride is, but he is spending some time. And there are two reasons, I think, for this. Firstly, because that groom loves his wife, and he wants to make it a special day, to be the best he can, to look right. Secondly, and I'm not sure if I should put this in a talk in church, is because he knows he will never hear the end of it if he doesn't. And that is quite important in a relationship. It's the basis. It's a symbol of the important relationship they're entering into. And so he wants to make sure that he thinks about what his wife thinks and likes. So both of them spend time. A successful marriage needs outstanding love. Love that will go the extra mile. When we ask people if they want to get married and they make their vows, they promise that they will stay together and love each other for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And God promises us that he will stay with us in good times and in hard times, when we're bouncing around and happy and healthy, and when we're facing really big challenges, when we're rich, and when we feel like everything has been taken away from us. Outstanding love. Respect and commitment. Jesus respects us. He doesn't force us into a relationship with himself. He gives us a choice, but his commitment to us is total. When he went to the cross and died for us, died in our place for the mistakes we've made, to pay the price for all the wrong things we've done, that showed his complete commitment. How do we show our respect and commitment to God as a church? And I think a successful marriage needs patience and forgiveness. My husband is sitting at the back of church. He would tell you that our marriage needs a lot of patience sometimes. He's a very patient man. He's a very forgiving man. And as a result of that, then we can mend things when they start to break. If we make a mistake, we come back and we say, "I'm sorry," eventually. But we know that when we come and say, "I'm sorry," the commitment and the patience and the forgiveness are there. And for us with God, we so often need to go back and say, "I'm sorry. I meant to do something like this, but I ended up doing it like that. I meant to try harder at this, and I completely forgot. I meant to be lovely and patient and kind, and I just lost my temper." And when we go to God and we say, "I'm sorry for those things," he looks at us and he goes, "I love you. I forgive you. Let's stick together and try again." So Jesus shows us all those characteristics of a successful marriage. He shows us outstanding love, respect and commitment, patience and forgiveness. And I think what the writer in this letter was trying to say in the Bible was that as God shows that to us, then the church is in a position to try and reciprocate, to show back to God those things, to try and be loving, to try and be committed and respectful. We don't need to show God patience and forgiveness, but we demonstrate that amongst ourselves to one another. So how should we behave as the bride of Christ? Well, we should show our love. One way we can show God our love is in worship. We thought about getting dressed for the big day, putting on things, being the best version of ourselves. And as we come to worship and we sing songs together and we pray and we read the Bible, then it's a way of us showing God that we are serious about our relationship and committed to it. But we can also show our love in service for other people, in being kind to those around us, in showing patience and forgiveness. So we are the bride of Christ. Husbands, says Paul, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word. We've had a symbol of that washing in baptism this morning. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the one who makes us holy and blameless. Please help us to be the best versions of ourselves that we can, and to show you our love in worship and demonstrate it in the way that we care for others In Jesus' name, amen.